Who needs awards, darling? When you've got talent, then the curtain opened very, very slowly to reveal all of these men at a urinal. Zooming in slow-mo, then through the streets, and then coming into something, and then through the streets.
Ooh.
I was thrown out of Sir Cameron Mackintosh's double doors into the gutter. So much you don't know about me, darling. That's her party trick.
Well, devastatingly, this is the final episode of this current series. I can't believe it's gone so quickly.
I know.
Oh, no, I'm literally devastated. But what have we been judging this week?
Well, I've got to be honest. I've been judging my life in show business and whether I should carry on or not.
Crikey, that's a big that's a big question.
Well, it is a series finale.
It is. I don't want it to be a career finale.
No, but it's a series and serious thought, isn't it? Now, I've been asking myself, do I want to remain in show business or would I like to retire and go somewhere quiet out of the public eye?
A life of anonymity.
Anonymity.
Yeah.
That would be lovely. But
you would like that or no?
No, well, I've just been contemplating it.
Where, which so I've been way questioning it.
I'm swaying
what
to.
What are your thoughts?
No, my thoughts were I would retire at 50.
Wow.
That left me 11 years ago.
Ships were inside.
I know. So I've now changed the goalpost to 70.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not imminent.
No.
But what would I do? Would I go fishing?
Oh,
would
God.
I, you know, retire from public life entirely? I have been thinking about it.
Have you really?
Yes. Well, I tend to work 10 years in advance with my life.
Do you?
Always, yeah.
Oh, 10 minutes, I
have.
Do.
I know, but I generally have a 10-year goal.
Do you?
Yes.
And your goal for the next 10 years is to retire?
No, is to continue in show business because I love it.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I'll ever leave it.
No.
To be honest. But I used to love the times before I was known to the public.
Mm.
I used to love being anonymous. I loved as a director sitting in the dark, you know, and just creating stars out of the people on the stage.
Oh, make me a star. That would have been me. Oh, make me a star.
I know, but you're a very different beast to me. But, yeah, so I have been seriously contemplating when the best time is to do it.
Right.
Because it will be an inevitability.
Never.
Yeah.
Look at Brucey. He went on to his mid-80s.
Yes, I know. That's true. But one has to have some sort of goal.
Well, mine is to keep going.
Is it?
Yes, I've no interest in stopping at all. At all. I love it. I'm also not that guy either, where like you and like other people I've met through my life who have started off on stage or competing or whatever it is that they've been doing as performers, have decided to go behind the camera, sort of,
yeah,
into the auditorium and start to put things on rather than to be. I'm not that guy either. I still don't really want to be out there directing particularly. I mean, if I'd enjoy the challenge of it, but I still would want to be on. I still want to be on stage doing. Because I love it. Do you know what I love? I love being surrounded by all the people in it. There's nothing quite as wonderful and energetic and optimistic and energized as a room full of dancers, young, older, whatever, being in or performers, being in that room creatively putting something on or being on stage. There's nothing like it. It's it is like, you know, that font of eternal youth, just having a cup of water from that eternal font. I love it. I think it's the most wonderful thing in the world.
And what have you been contemplating or thinking about this week or judging?
Well,
quietly judging.
Shows. I've been to see a couple of things recently.
Oh.
And I know you've been to see something recently as well. And I've been wondering about, I've seen a couple of things recently. Some of it's been good. Some of it's not so good.
Gotcha.
And I've always been of the mind of the thing that doesn't really work. At what stage, having been in those sorts of situations where you're going, somebody just tap somebody on the shoulder and go, you know, this is not working, right? Or what were you thinking about that exactly? Because that seems to be not working at all. So I'm always fascinated by that, how something ends up on stage.
Yes.
That is
substandard.
Well, terrible. Sometimes you sort of lump yourself into a corner with, sometimes with performers, you know, you get, you do your auditions and everybody comes in and they all look great. I think there should be a process really where you have, you do the auditions and then you get somebody, I don't know if it works for you actually, tell me this. You do the auditions, you choose the people you like through the audition. Some people you bring in because you know them and they're available, you bring in. But then you'll have some people where you just have to go through the audition process and you choose them. And you get them into the room. And after about a week of rehearsal, you realise that you've made a bad choice.
Mm.
Or this isn't that person that I thought they were going to be. But you're sort of lumbered with them. Or can you not be lumbered with them? Can you go, I'm afraid this is not working out, we're going to have to let you go?
Yes.
Is that a thing?
Yes.
Or once you've signed them up, you've signed them up?
No, you've signed them up, but you can release them.
Can you?
Yep.
How long do you have?
They do it in movies all the time.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
How long do you have?
Well, I think you have to give them a certain amount of notice and a payout.
So if you've signed them for a six-month run, and after a week of rehearsal, you go, this is not the person I was hoping for, yep. What do you do?
Sack them.
So how do you, because you can't sack anybody these days. So what do you do with that? You go, you're not working. Can you not just go to them, you're not working out, this isn't right at all?
I made a terrible mistake.
I made a mistake.
And you've been miscast in this role, unfortunately. So you can either offer them another role.
Yeah.
Or you can go to the manager, agent, and say they've been miscast, I'm afraid, and do a payout.
But you have to pay them out.
Well, yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, I've not actually done that. I've miscast people and then offered them a different role within the show. And it depends, actually, because I generally like doing shows where we're creating. And I generally don't miscast anyone.
Oh.
As a rule.
Right.
But I did make a mistake as one. I remember it was between two ladies and one in the rehearsal room became more apparent that she would be better playing the other one's role.
Right.
So I swapped their roles.
And they were okay with that?
Yeah, well, I had to approach them because they were contracted to those parts, yeah. But they did that with no fuss, but it did make a lot more sense.
I went to see Mallory Towers with the children at the Richmond Theatre recently. Super duper.
Yeah.
Well done to them. That was a lovely production, lovely theatre. Everything about it was great.
See?
I enjoyed it enormously.
Great.
And the children enjoyed it, which is the most important thing. Get children into the theatre.
And it's all, you know, subjective.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
really.
Some stuff,
I mean,
is,
you know,
right.
some people's love might be your hate and vice versa.
That's the draw of theatre. I mean, I'm not suggesting I'm right about everything, but it is.
No, you're just very judgy.
Well, you know.
What is your proudest showbiz moment in your life ever?
Doing Strictly Come Dancing right at the beginning. It's my proudest moment, actually, is still that you and I are still doing Strictly Come Dancing and we're the only people left from day one.
Mm.
Day one, show one, right at the very, very, open the door, welcome Strictly Come Dancing, in you come. And we're the only ones left.
Yeah.
That I find, I'm hugely proud of that moment. And then I've had lots of wonderful moments from there, doing my own show at the Albert Hall. Big Christmas show at the Albert Hall was a huge moment for me. Doing one man show at the Palladium was a huge thing, you know, a lovely sort of milestone moment. But I've had lots of great, working with Brucey in general was, I'm hugely proud of that. That was a huge, because it's what you are, isn't it, really? I'm a sort of song and dance man, really. And variety was always my thing. I always loved variety. And to be able to work with the greatest variety star we've ever produced every week, for years and years and years, is a dream come true.
Mm.
And then playing the best variety theatre in the world, they wouldn't appreciate me saying it, but the great famous one is the Palladium, of course. And then doing my own show at the Royal Albert Hall, the most iconic of all theatres.
Mm.
those moments take some topping for me. But other brilliant moments. But those. What about you?
I think I go by what put me on the map.
Mm.
Stuff like that. Spend.
Right.
Choreography. When I did that. That was my first West End soul choreography credit.
Yeah.
So for me, that was a huge achievement. And it put me on the map as a choreographer. Well, actually, Pal Joey did at Chichester Festival Theatre first, because there was a huge moment in my life that I was thrown out of Sir Cameron Mackintosh's Double Doors into the gutter.
See, people don't know this about you. This is interesting as well, having spent so much time with you. I learned these little nuggets, and I love that. But you worked for and with Sir Cameron Mackintosh. People might not know this, that you worked very closely with him for many, many years and was his sort of lead choreographer.
Oh, my goodness. Have you read my autobiography, All Balls and Glitter?
No, but I mean, I've been in the back of a car with you when you've had half a bottle of Chaffee B.
There you are. Yeah, no, I worked with Cameron for many, many years, obviously. And then it came to a head, really, because, like anyone, I wanted more.
Mm.
I was sick of being the person that was the associate, the assistant, and I just wanted my name on a program saying that I co-choreographed something or choreographed it. And he couldn't give that to me. So I was thrown out of the Double Doors, as I say, into the dance gutter. I picked myself up.
Mm-hmm.
That year, I then thought, right, what am I going to do? I need a career change. And I then became a choreographer in my own right. And the first job I was given was a show called Pal Joey. And that was at the Chichester Festival Theatre. I did that show, and it was wall-to-wall dance. And they paid me £900.
Right.
And that year, I earned £8,572.
For the year?
The whole year. I had a mortgage to pay.
Oh.
I couldn't afford my mobile phone, so I had to give that up. I had to make calls from a phone box. I know they're libraries now.
Beep, 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 beep.
I know, but I did. That's all I could do. I had no money, no nothing, but Pal Joey literally had rave reviews, specifically for the choreography. Yeah. Then I did three more shows at Chichester Festival Theatre.
Right.
Because they were so sweet. They said, oh, we didn't realise how much choreography and everything's in it. We'd like to give you another £200. I said, thank you. But because of that and a strip show, I got spend. No, I did a strip. I choreographed it.
Oh,
and that's how I got spend.
A strip, like, you know.
No,
like
it's a charity.
Like in a tube.
It's called,
you know,
West End Bears.
Oh, I see.
You know,
sorry. No.
West End Bears.
I thought you were busking, you know.
No, it's called
up,
West.
Hard up.
It's called West End Bears. And basically all the theatres get together and each show does a strip, you know. And because they're bearing all for charity.
Yes, of course.
Of course. And it's a big event in the, you know, the West End calendar. And it was great. And I was asked to choreograph a strip. So I decided to do a reverse strip. So when the curtain opens,
you were kit off.
There was 12 men standing at a urinal having a wee, with all their clothes down by their ankles.
Oh, that's clever.
And I used a very slow boom, 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 just very quiet. Everything deliciously understated. And then the curtain opened very, very slowly to reveal all of these men at a urinal, naked.
Bottoms
and then
on display.
Bit by bit, they all bent down.
Oh, dear.
To pull up various articles of clothing. They're all dressed, you have to think, builders. So they were all in one sort of thing, but they had amazing lingerie on underneath it. So they started with frilly knickers coming up or leather G-strings, you know, all the things that people hide away. and they reversed strips. So basically, the end of the number, they were dressed all as builders and then left the toilet. And the producers came to see that because, I mean, well, they did, and they loved the choreography and the wit of it, that they offered me spend, spend, spend because of that. And that's when Pola Jones was still operating, of course, with Andre Jaczynski, who I absolutely love, and the lovely Rebecca, who saw it and said, this person has got the right wit for spend, spend, spend choreography. And that's how I got it. And I was nominated for Olivier Award for that. I didn't win it, but, you know, who needs awards, darling, when you've got talent?
Fascinating. Brilliant. But should we get on with the pod proper?
I think so. I like a proper pod.
So let's see what our supporting cast of lovely listeners think about showbiz and entertainment etiquette.
Let's do it.
Come on.
Places, everyone.
It's showtime.
Smile for the audience.
Hide the nerves.
Hit your mark.
Remember your line.
Pretend everything's going perfectly.
Even when it's absolutely not.
Because tonight there'll be standing ovations.
Awards speeches.
Reality television.
West End musicals.
Fans.
Critics.
And more sequins than you could ever be legally allowed.
But whether you're the one in the spotlight.
Or the one buying the ticket.
Everyone has an opinion. Welcome to Judgmental.
It's time for the gold standard.
I bring the gold.
And of course, I bring the standards.
So, Butler, shall we for one last time?
Oh, our lovely Butler, you've been gorgeous this year. Thank you so much. Right, who would like to go first?
Well, I think you should go first. Why not?
Okay, I'm going to go the nearest to me.
Good.
I love a gold standard because you're the... What are you?
Platinum.
And I'm...
I'm the gold.
And I'm the standard. Oh, what we got here? It's a statement. You should never sing along at a musical.
No, don't sing along. Unless it's a sing-along.
What a load of rubbish.
Unless it's a sing-alonger. Is that a thing?
I encourage...
singing along to the ABBA, Mamma Mia.
There's been all of that. All of that thing. Oh, someone's singing along. I don't mind it. I really don't mind it. If it's one of those shows. I mean, look, if it was Les Mis, you don't want someone squealing like Eponine next to you that can't sing.
Yeah.
So that's an elbow.
You know, elbow in the face.
That's an elbow or a kick in the back of the head.
Oh.
Obviously. And you wouldn't want to be doing that at opera either.
No, if you're
someone
trying to
hit warbling the top sopranos, like the top C.
Good luck.
Like my mum does when she's drunk. That's her party trick.
Oh my God.
Oh, she does Never Enough.
Oh no.
Oh yeah, my mum does. She's 84 and she's got this amazing soprano warble and she can hit all the top C's. She has to have a glass of champagne, but she's very funny.
Why did I not think?
Yeah, but no,
refused.
I think singing along is great. I really encourage it. You know, if the audience are having a great time, but particularly I did that 80s musical. Now that's why they call it a musical. And I was encouraging everyone to sing along.
And there
was
all of
this. No, when that was out on tour, there was all this stuff in the paper about how dare people sing in the theatre and enjoy themselves. It's like, please. I mean, there is a time and there's a place.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. And there's a type of show that you can and you can't. You know, as I said, you would not be trying to sing with Jennifer Holliday and I am telling you because no one else but her can sing it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Don't start singing Bring Him Home.
Oh, this is what I'm
saying.
Don't
be doing it now. I am with you. The appropriate times. Choose them wisely, I would suggest.
Mm.
So that singing in the theatre, are there any other pet peeves?
Eating loudly.
Oh. Well, the phone thing.
All that.
The phone thing is irritating. People on their phone in the theatre. That's annoying.
Crunching.
And as you are part of the show. I ask people to text me on my shows in the past.
Well, listen, if they're selling them front of house,
yeah,
then sorry, performers, you have to grin and bear that.
Mm.
You have to choose to ignore it. I know Patti LuPone didn't.
Really?
She stopped. She broke the fourth wall. No, because people were either chatting or not looking at her or rattling around with their sweets. She had a total flip out.
What was she doing at the
on
time?
On stage. I think it's on YouTube. You can find it. She totally stopped the performance and was telling this person off. I mean, literally broke character. Brilliant. I love that. But you see, as a performer, I would never allow myself to break character like that unless a set. Well, I had to break character in Annie because I was either drunk or hungover in every scene because I was Miss Hannigan.
All right.
And I came on stage, and then suddenly, because you know how lighting is specific, stage management were like winding on my desk that I have to sit on. And I sat down at the desk, and the desk started moving by itself. And I went, oh my God. Can anyone see? Is that desk moving or am I drunk? You know, it's like, it was, and I broke character, but it's not often, only because the desk had a mind of its own. It was on a pulley system, and the stage management had to try and creep it. It's got a telephone and everything that I'm using on it, and I'm doing it's moving. Very funny. So that suspended disbelief, you know.
And on that note, I'm going to look into a golden envelope. Are you ready?
I love all of these.
You have a voice note. Ha ha! Butler.
Oh, who can't swallow?
Anton Dubek, yeah?
Hey, Anton and Craig, it's Al here. Hi. A few weeks ago, I went to the opening night of Jesus Christ Superstar, where I'm pretty sure I saw a certain Craig Revel Horwood in the audience. I've always wondered whether people in showbiz actually enjoy going to the theatre and watching TV, or is it a bit too much like a busman's holiday? Can you ever just switch off and enjoy the show? And do you still get surprised and inspired by things that you see? Thanks so much. Cheers.
Al. Oh.
I wonder if he came up and said hello.
That's actually quite an intelligent question for this programme. Isn't it?
Well, he's barking up the wrong tree for a good answer then.
No, I'll answer the question.
Go ahead.
Shall I?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I went to Jesus Christ Superstar. I go to a lot of shows because I enjoy them. Whether they're good, bad or indifferent, I love seeing the cross-section of, you know, what people are presenting. I don't always love someone else's work. You know, and sometimes I am inspired with other people's work. You know, I love going to the ballet. I love going to the opera and I love going to musicals. You know, I don't limit myself to any one thing. But, you know, one ballet is not going to suit other people. You know, I love the Ballet Boys stuff. I think that's really, really great.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I was at Jesus Christ Superstar. Thank you for saying you should come and tap me on the shoulder and said hello, darling. But, you know, that particular production wasn't entirely for me, only because, as I've said, I really fell in love with the one in Regent's Park.
Right.
You know, and was expecting that. So that was wrong of me. Do I think I'm working there? It's hard to turn yourself off. Because, yes, I will be judging the lighting. I will be judging the performances. I will be thinking what I could have done with it. So it does sometimes hamper my enjoyment. It really does. Mm-hmm. And I'm being honest about that. Although there are shows like The Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
I couldn't care less about the lighting. I mean, yeah, it was so funny. I loved it so much. I went again. You know, it was just one of those things, isn't it? You know, sometimes you get so involved in the story, like Gypsy. I went to see Imelda Staunton in that, and she was absolutely fantastic. When I saw Dreamgirls, the original, on Broadway, wow, that was just jaw-dropping. But you see, I was green then. I hadn't become a professional dancer at that point.
Oh, really? So you went to see Dreamgirls?
That was in 1982, yes. Oh, okay, I walked down the stairs with Goldie Hawn.
Did you now?
Mm.
How did she feel about that?
That was the Cats. Everyone was going, Goldie, Miss Horn. Well, the photographers, and I was behind her.
You were like,
I have tried to look for opening night tickets of Cats. You know, opening night, things on the internet to see if I'm in the background of any of the photos because I wanted a picture of me and Goldie Hawn.
But
I did see some pictures. I couldn't find myself in the background though, but I was there. But now I went to see Dreamgirls and that changed my life. So things do. But as a professional, I hear what you're saying, Al. It is difficult because you do actually get a bit judgy. I know that you've become probably more judgmental.
I went to see the original cast when they brought into London 20, maybe 5 years ago now, Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
With Uta Lemper. Ruthie Henschel playing.
Oh,
Lassie
hang on.
Hart.
No, that's not the original original. That was back in the 70s.
Oh, no, the original original. Actually, the
that
original.
Was in the circus.
No, the original version of Chicago didn't work, of course. And it had colourful costumes. And then
it was set in the circus.
Yeah, they brought it back in as it is, as we know it now. And it was hugely successful.
Well, no, they had brought it back basically as a concert.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Black Box Theatre.
Black Box Theatre. Fabulous costumes. Black. And I thought it was the most brilliant thing I'd ever seen. It was Don Goodman was
It reinvented it.
The lawyer
and Anne Reinking, who was Fosse's girlfriend, of course.
Yeah,
who knows it very well. She brought it back to life in that way and made it more accessible, I think, for a wider audience.
Well, the music's extraordinary
because I think it was done in 1976 or something like 75. Not sure.
The music is brilliant. And the staging is absolutely right. So he's probably got the staging wrong in the first place. So it's perfect as it is. So I loved it. And then I went and I did a thing. I'm not sure if I should have done this, but I went back and saw it with other casts over the years. And I went and they had a cast changed. I went to got invited to go and see that. And I went to see that. And it was all right, but it wasn't as good. And then I went to see it a few years ago with Cuba Gooding Jr. He'd flown over from America to play Billy Flynn.
Yes.
It was so terrible. I can't even... It was like, if they could have got a bunch of people on the stage that couldn't have cared less... They would have been struggling to find them.
Mm.
It was one person. It was a friend of mine, and she was great. Everybody else was awful. Cuban Gooding Jr. was terrible, and they were expensive tickets. And I was really disappointed, a bit annoyed actually, and really disappointed because I'd seen it as it should be done, and it is or was brilliant.
Yeah, I was given a CD of Chicago for my birthday. From a friend of mine, Glyn Kerslake, when I was in Miss Saigon. I went, oh, that's so sweet. I got it home. There was no CD in it. It was just the bleeding cover, the box. And I went into work the next day and I said, Glyn, darling, there is no CD in the Chicago CD, so how am I supposed to play it? Of course, MP3s weren't invented back then. So he went, oh... I'll bring that in for you. It must be still in the machine. Hello. That's what I remember about, because that's why I think I recognize, you know, the cover, and that's why I think, because it was the original Broadway cast. And I just remember it so well, because when I got it home, I was terribly excited to put it on. Hilarious. And of course, there was nothing in it.
Hilarious. Well, Marvellous, so, thank you very much.
But don't you think it has changed your opinion, though. It does, of course. It's difficult to go to something and just go, right, I'm not going to look at the lighting or
and
judge
this
it.
Is great.
I'm not going to look at just the acting and judge it. I'm not, but it's so hard now.
Because you are going, what's the point of that then? And what's the point of that? And why would you bother doing that?
Well, we both do it, actually.
I know. Unless it's
guilty.
Brilliant, then, you know, as you say with Book of Mormon... And yeah, it takes over,
if it takes
great.
Over, and then you've got like Gypsy. When I did that, I wasn't. I just fell in love with every minute.
Exactly.
You know.
So it's going to be good if we're going to switch off.
And that, for the last time this season, is the gold standard. It's time for Judgy Much, darling. It's quick fire judging.
I love
remember
it.
That, Anton.
Yes.
You generally are too lengthy. Now, please, this is the final episode. Can you please make it quick?
I'll be quick.
Fire.
I'll be quick.
Do you know what that means?
I'll fire quickly.
Good, because you're in the hot seat.
Okay.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, quick fire.
Quick fire.
I don't want to hear your life story.
No, firing quickly.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Reality TV.
Oh, God, don't even start me on that. Unless it's Strictly Come Dancing, which isn't really a reality TV. It's like sort of skill-based TV. So it's entertainment TV. So that's okay. I like entertainment TV. Quick fire. Sorry. This, yes.
What part reality of quick?
Reality I don't like, but entertainment I do. Thank you. How reasonably quick was that?
Your usual long length. Standing ovations.
Oh, I love. More, please.
Eating popcorn.
No.
Celebrity selfies.
Yes, I like those.
Award speeches.
No. Stop now. Just say thanks. Get off.
Watching something at 1.5 times the speed.
No.
Paparazzi.
Thing of the past, isn't it?
Over the top bows.
No, just no, don't over the top bow. Just say thank you very much. Get off.
3D movies.
I've never been to one. I know. I've been to a little bit. I did it when it first came out. We did it with the funny glasses and stuff. But I think the IMAX thing. I've never been to the IMAX. I'd like to go to the IMAX. I'd like to go and see an IMAX. Is that sort of 3D IMAX? That's pretty. This is too
quick
long. Yeah.
Fire.
Yeah.
Encore performances.
Yes.
See, I knew you'd be into that. I bet you've got about 10
no
up your sleeve.
No, no, no. Oh,
would you like another one?
Oh.
Even if they say no, you'd still go on and do
no
it.
No, I don't have too many. I also, I mean, that, the whole thing about the encore and the it's the fakeness of it all is where you're waiting there and waiting and waiting for somebody to say more and nobody says a word and you come out 2.5 hours later and still. It is.
You know, Frank Sinatra used to leave before the band stopped playing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. My Way.
Mm.
I did it my way. Off you go. No, so we're
big round. And he's in a car.
He's in the gone car. Tie off. Jack Daniels.
Yeah, exactly. Goes. Love that.
Come on. You'd like
no,
that,
No, but encores are there for a reason. You
what,
do realise
what
that
is the purpose of an encore?
It's to encourage the audience to have a really, think they've had a really, really special and amazing night. Of course, they're all preordained and planned.
Yes.
Like Liza Minnelli famously does, like, 5.
Does she?
And yeah, the eyelashes come off and she's sweating. Oh, God, you know, I didn't think we'd go in this long. And it's all fake. But the audience think it's true because the audience are conned into believing they're getting an extra song for the price.
Oh,
do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Something extra that's special that no other audience is ever going to get. And of course, it happens on a daily basis. Sorry. I mean, there are some genuine ones.
Yeah.
You know, you really don't want the artist to leave the stage and they will stomp and they will clap. I mean, that happens to me all the time. And I have to come back from the dressing room. You know, I've already got a savvy bee in my hand. I've got to come back. They're still screaming.
Oh, now come on, everybody! I'll
I didn't
give you
say
one
how
more
many.
Than
all two of them.
Yeah, both of them. Yeah, front of house manager and
I can understand why you don't mean like 1.5. You know, the fast forwarding.
Yeah, no,
going faster.
No.
Why don't you like that?
I don't do it. No. Well, no, I don't do it.
Well, anything that's repetition is good to go fast. Don't you think?
Well, you know, I don't.
Baz Luhrmann does it all the time in movies, like the opening of Moulin Rouge. Yeah, you know, the zooming in slow mo, then through the streets, and then coming into something, and then through the streets.
Oh, does he say it in a very slight French accent as well? It's fantastic.
Mon mère et moi, mais pas d'aventure. Et quand des bruits de ses yeux, je pourrais passer une nuit. Il parle d'amour comme il parle de voiture. You've fallen in love with me, haven't you?
Oh, even more than
so
I had before.
So much shit you don't know about me, darling.
And just like that, my loves.
My loves.
This week's quickfire judging has taken its final bow.
It also took a very long time.
I thought it was brisk. Brisk as anything.
Well, maybe in season 2, we'll teach you how to do the quickfire round. If you think that Anton should be sped up a little bit, please... Take your comments to judgmental@bowermedia.co.uk and complain. Darlings, it is time for Judging Me, Judging You, my favourite part.
Where we picked out one of your delightful emails, complete with a juicy little confession.
And so it's time to judge you.
And this email comes in from a chappy called Ben.
It does indeed. Thank you, Anton. Dear Craig and Anton, a few years ago, I took my mum to see a Shakespeare play as her birthday present. It was very good, but quite experimental, and had loads of flashing lights and loud sound effects. Towards the end of the first half, during one particularly loud and dramatic scene, I think it was a fight scene, I leant over to mum and declared that I haven't got a fucking clue what's going on. She didn't actually write that. I had to guess what that word was.
Oh, was
because
it?
It had asterisk. Haven't got a fucking, I think is what she's saying, clue. What's going on? The trouble was that in the split second before I said it, the whole theatre had plunged into darkness. The place was pin drop silent, and there was a single spotlight on the lone actor on the stage. And because of the fight scene that I assumed was still going on, I had rather shouted my comment.
Oh, genius.
The rows around us laughed. The actor on stage glared at me and mum sank into her seat. The play continued, but at the interval, some people around us pointed and laughed so much that mum decided we weren't staying for the second half.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. They didn't stay for the second half. Every year when I ask her what she wants for her birthday, she replies, anything but theatre tickets. Oh, dear. It was an accident.
Yeah.
Please help me seek forgiveness from my poor mother.
Ben, I don't know what to say about that, really. I mean, that's sort of hilarious, actually. I mean, your timing's incredible.
Impeccable.
Genius.
I know. I love those sort of moments. And that's what live, you know, the beauty about that is that what live theatre is all about.
Yeah.
I mean, there is an etiquette. I mean, you're obviously, if it's a loud fight scene or something and you're shouting over it, and then suddenly it all drops out and goes silent, and you're suddenly on stage yourself, aren't you, in the spotlight at that point. So that can be alarming and disconcerting.
It's hard because with a moment like that, the audience is fully focused and the performer, the player, is performing a part and everybody is in with him or her. And then something pulled the classic line of pulling focus away from the moment. And what happens is it feels like the audience scatters.
Mm.
You've got them all together, all in a sort of, you've corralled them into the moment that you're setting and performing. And then suddenly they scatter and everything is lost. And it's hard to get them back.
Don't know how you're going to get forgiveness.
Mother's going to have to be very, very charitable.
The only way is to prove it. So I would suggest, Ben, that you say, I have bought you tickets, and even though you don't want them, I know you're going to love it. And I promise I will not speak.
whether or not.
Ever.
I know what's going on.
And if you prove yourself just once, then she might be on side.
She might forgive you.
I hope she does. I mean, that's an innocent mistake.
Funny.
Isn't it funny?
Funny.
Like you, Ben. I'm going to go to the theatre with you more often.
I'll tell you what the worst situation is, in those scenarios, is when the audience laugh at something on stage. I went to see Fatal Attraction years ago in London, and there was a fight scene. The two ladies in the piece had this fight scene, and it was so unconvincing, the audience started to laugh.
Oh dear.
That is really eggy. That's a terrible moment. But fortunately, that wasn't this. This was old Ben pulling focus.
Yeah, but I have to say, Ben, look, it happens a lot. You'd be surprised.
Does it?
Yeah. It does. It happens a lot.
And never once has it been well received by the actor.
Yeah, but it does. I mean, you know, because because you don't know what's coming next. And plus, you feel sort of safe, don't you, when there's loud noise, to project and speak up a little bit.
I don't know what's going on.
What's your worst heckle moment?
Oh, I had a moment once. Oh, it makes me feel a bit sick now.
Good. I want to see this.
I was doing my show and I was doing...
I like seeing you uncomfortable.
Oh, it was horrible, really. Because and you know, I was doing this stuff in my show at the time years ago and I was talking about my ex-partners and stuff and, you know, the joke is all that, why do you always get the ones that can't dance? No, that's not strictly true, but it's quite funny. And I was... being rude about one of my partners, but not badly rude, because I'm not unkind, sort of having, you know, some fun with it. Anyway, one lady took umbrance to this, and she stood up. There's 2,000 people in the theatre. She stood up and went, and it was a concert hall. It was the Bridgewater Hall in Manchester. I don't know if you know it. So it's well, they're not like theatres where it's completely dark. There's still a sort of ambient light in the room. Anyway, she stood up and she went, cheap jokes or something like this.
Oh.
And stormed up the aisle. And I was sort of rocked by it, really. And after about 30 more seconds... you could see her husband get up and walk out as well. I think he felt obliged to go. I don't think he wanted to go. Mm. But suddenly he felt obliged to go as well. So he sort of got up and sort of toodled up the centre aisle of the theatre. I went, oh dear, I seem to have upset her. Anyway, we carried on with the show. Anyway, it turned out that they had to wait in the foyer because her mum was in the audience and was loving it and didn't want to leave. So she stayed in the auditorium until the end of the show. And this woman who had taken umbrance to what I was doing had to sit in the in the foyer with her arms crossed, being properly grumpy. And I thought that was sad, and I feel terrible about it. And I hope she wasn't upset, but I wasn't being mean. Well, but anyway, that was the worst moment I've ever had. Other than that, I never get anything like that.
Did you have to give her a refund?
I don't think so.
Well, then fine. You made money out of it. Fabulous.
Well, Ben, thank you very much indeed. That was a what a lovely story to end on.
Tremendous, darling. Yeah, well yes, and that's done. My best Anton Dubek impersonation.
Marvellous. Well, that concludes Judging Me.
Judging You.
Well, thank you very much indeed, my loves, for tuning into this episode, our final episode of this series of...
Oh, I know. We'll be taking a short break as we get ready for a rather important dancing date in our little diaries.
But we'll be back soon. So please do keep in touch with us all here at judgmental@bowermedia.co.uk.
Or sending your comments to judgmental.pod on socials.
I have been having the most wonderful time as Anton Dubek.
And I, of course, am Craig Rebel Horwood.
So until we meet again,
stay judgmental.